You're listening to Steve Gruber on MTN. More talk now. I get knocked
down, but I get up again. This family of chemicals that we're discussing, PFCs, PFOAs, PFAS, PFOA, PFCs, all of these, come in products like Gore-Tex, Teflon, Scotchgard. They're in food containers like popcorn bags and pizza boxes. It's the AFFF, which is a firefighting foam used at military bases. It was prevalent in tanneries, chroming facilities, of which at one point there were 2,000 chroming facilities in Michigan. Think about that, just in the water contamination potential out of that. So we had a call off air here from Susan. She lives near the Rockford facility there, listening to WJRW in Grand Rapids, and said, okay, I'm a private citizen. I'm now getting my water from a different source, but how do I test my water? How do I find out as a private citizen what is a resource?
Well, there's two things. I believe now, well, first of all, she can call her local health department. The health department has been very aggressive and aware of what's going on over there and can direct her to the resources. Also, I believe now that on the MPART page, that's the Michigan's PFAS web page, that I think they have a list of laboratories now that will run samples for individual citizens.
And the cost, any idea?
I don't know. No. All right,
we're going to look into that. We're going to find out for the listeners, because we want you to be able to have a resource where you can have your water tested, whether it's your local, you know, whether it's your well, your municipal system, or maybe it's the lake you fish in. Maybe you just want to know that you're fishing with your grandkids in a lake that if you eat the bluegill, you're not setting them up for some health crisis later in life. I mean, that's right. Fair, right? I mean,
that's correct, yeah.
So what you say has to happen here, Bob Delaney here from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, as a private citizen, not as a representative of the organization, is that somehow we have to get private industry and the government to work together, because the government, it put out this AFFF, contaminated water. Private industry created these products that contaminated water and human beings. Now, did they do it knowingly? I would like to think not. I would like to think not. You know, 3M made these chemicals for years. DuPont made them for years. I would like to, among others, I would like to think not. But now that I know that they're still being manufactured in China, it makes me scratch my head. Now, if they know that they're dangerous chemicals, why are they continuing to flood the United States and the rest of the world with them?
Well, China made the decision that that income and wealth was more critical to them than protecting their environment. And so they literally, and that's one of the reasons it's cheaper to produce things in China, is because they don't have any regulations. And you can dump anything you want into the river or the air or the ground. And so, yeah, their products are cheap, but at what cost? And interestingly, their workforce right now, at the age of their prime age for working, those workers are dying at a faster rate than they anticipated, which to me is not the least bit shocking. They've been poisoning themselves. And they basically made a deal with the devil. And the problem is, the United States is almost naively letting that happen. We're making our industry compete against that. And that's part of the problem is, you know, if China's not responsible and they do these things, are we going to be equally irresponsible so that we can compete with them?
I would like to think not. I'd like to hope that we're not going to be that way. One of the other things that you say, another bridge that has to be built, is a bridge between business in America and activists, because businesses have been put up as the villain when, you know, 3M, I don't think, was out there openly trying to poison anyone. I think they were doing business as usual, making good products. People like Gore-Tex. People like Teflon. They buy it. They like it. Mm-hmm. And the downside, I think, came to these people later. How do we bridge that gap between the business community and these activists?
And you have to realize there are, you know, in any large organization, you know, I know lots of people in business, and I've worked with some people from Dow, and awesome people, really cool people. But there are bad people in business. And there are people that knew these things were dangerous and let them continue to go out there, and that's been well documented. But the thing is that we both have to understand two things. that the most important thing we produce in this country is our children, and protecting them is paramount. And so, but it takes the whole community. I mean, it takes the government, it takes the business community, it takes the nonprofits, it takes all of us to do that job of protecting our children. And the business community and the labor force are the ones that are going to produce the solutions to all these things. It's not going to be the government. It's not going to be academia. It will be the business community. But first, they have to believe that that's their duty and their responsibility, and that it's way too easy, like what happened in my situation, put off, not listened to, and you know.
Ignore, and, keep quiet.
Yeah, and it's really been a tough year since I came on your radio station.
Sorry about
so,
that.
So, no, that's it comes with the territory. So anyway, we can't keep doing that. You know, we have to find the people that are good people on both sides working together to find solutions. How we fund cleanups. Right now it's polluter pay. You're the bad guy, you pay. Well, I always felt that was going to set us up for a war with business. And you cannot win a war with business because we rely on them. And so we just take collective responsibility and find other ways to pay for a lot of these cleanups. And, you know, this line of chemicals was a multi-billion dollar line of chemicals for these companies. There were 9 manufacturers in the U.S. and those billions of dollars, when they quit making that stuff, they're looking at a huge economic loss unless they move their stuff to China.
Which they did. Well, yeah, some did.
Some did.
In some fashion.
Right. Others, you know, others just quit making it and, well, moved on to something else.
About 20 seconds here, Bob. Are you at least optimistic, or you just don't know?
You know, I think about that. One of my favorite sayings is, there's a few people in the world that tell themselves the truth and they're all depressed. So there's a little tough. But, you know, on our dollar bill, it says, in God we trust. And that's what I believe.
Bob Delaney, it's been a great conversation. Some final thoughts right after this.
Last year, electricity costs for Michigan businesses were higher than the top 10 state average and nearly the highest among peer states. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce can help you manage your electric expenses. In fact, the Chamber can help you cut energy costs by up to 70% by installing LED lighting. LED lighting is a practical, long-term solution to reduce your facility electric bills, save on maintenance time and cost, and help the environment. The Michigan Chamber is here to help you every step of the way. Find out more. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Michigan Chamber logo.
There are kids at some of the schools in our Greater Lansing community who are struggling with basics like food, clothing, a safe place to live. When you're worried about the basics, it's harder to learn. If you can read and write, you can help these kids, which is a tremendous investment in our community. If you've got some time and want to be a part of the solution, the Capital Area Literacy Coalition could use your help. Visit thereadingpeople.org for details. That's thereadingpeople.org for details.